Welcome back to our Peace Through Strength podcast, brought to you by the American Security Council Foundation. I'm your host, Joy Vajrbeck, here with our senior analyst, Lauren Sanford.
Nice to be here,
Welcome
Joy.
Welcome back, Larry. Welcome. And today we're going to look at the CCP's cyber threat to America. Larry wrote an article called China Cyber Crimes, and his latest article, hot off the press, is Pre-War Digital Pearl Harbor. And you can find all of Larry's articles at www.ascf.us. Please consider becoming a member of the ASCF for $100 per year, which is less than $10 a month. It also includes a yearly paid Substack subscription worth $80 and our biweekly newsletter. So, Larry, can you tell us a little about the Volt Typhoon cyber attack that happened?
China. We use the term CCP, which is Chinese Communist Party. So we're not making this into an issue of ethnicity. We're talking about a political party, a totalitarian communist party, the CCP, Chinese Communist Party. And they have basically been at war with the United States since their inception, because the Marxist Communist Party is against capitalist free societies. They're a totalitarian organization. So they've been at war with the United States since their inception. They're getting much bigger and much more dangerous as the years have gone on, as we all know. Mm-hmm. One of their primary philosophies is based on Sun Tzu, ancient Chinese philosopher, who basically says, if you can weaken the enemy and know the enemy and weaken them internally without firing a shot, it's a much better way to win a war than a shooting war, because shooting wars, everybody gets killed, ourselves included. So they've worked very diligently with what is called unrestricted warfare, and it was spelled out by two Chinese army colonels 20 years ago on unrestricted warfare, where basically it's a fusion of all organs of the state. So you have business, you have the military, you have social organizations, you have the media. They're all at the beck and call of the CCP. And one of their strategies is what is called through gray zone activities. And one of the gray zone activities of gray zone is in between shooting and diplomatic tees. It's that action in between that area. Is cyber warfare, and perhaps this is the most dangerous of all. And cyber warfare means is that they're infecting and infesting within our computer systems to plant germs, I guess is the best way to describe what they're doing, or malware. And Volt Typhoon was discovered by Microsoft's security team in Guam, which is a strong military outpost in the Western Pacific, where the U.S. has nuclear subspace, Air Force bases, Army, Marines are there. And they found embedded in the internet systems, the malware, lying dormant. And by lying dormant, what they're doing is they're laying it dormant until they're called to action. So they're very hard to detect these kind of malwares that were infested in our military communication system. But if they're activated, they could take down all the systems. So
how did they find this particular?
I do not know. It was Microsoft. It wasn't the Defense Department. It wasn't the Air Force or the Navy. It was Microsoft's security system. And the more they dug, the more scary it became, because not only was it in Guam, it was also in seaports, ports in the United States, military bases in the United States. So they were infesting all these internet systems with malicious software, malware, that upon activation can just cripple the whole thing. So instead of shooting bombs, the Chinese are just going to shut all the communications down, shut down the command structures, because everything in the U.S. is based on the internet nowadays. And who knows what they're doing with the satellites. So that's what Volt Typhoon is. But Volt Typhoon is just one of many malicious software programs that the Chinese are working on. We've read for years how they've breached the government computer systems in America, where they get names of thousands of government employees and all the social security numbers and everything. They've been attacking American infrastructure via the computer for years. If you look at the Chinese military, their jet planes, their ships, they are strikingly similar to American designs. So they've stolen the designs, not only of the ships, but of the planes, the engines, the firepower. They continue to just steal American technology. How many stories have we heard of American companies making a deal with the Chinese and find out that 5 years later, all their technology's been stolen? So,
and we've had other guests on here talking about the same thing.
And it's amazing to me that we just allow them to keep on doing it and doing it and doing it. You cannot solve a problem until you identify the problem. And if you can't identify that China is our enemy, then you're not going to solve the problem. I'm a firm believer of reciprocity, as you know, Joy.
I do.
And reciprocity is that if China won't allow Americans to do it, why are we allowing them to do it to us? And there's the example of TikTok.
I was going to say, I know TikTok is one of your particular ones, and I wanted to talk about that because, you know, about a week ago, I guess it's been, that AT&T had the massive outages. They stated it was not a cyber attack, but one has to wonder then how secure our phones are from outside influence. And that being said, I go to TikTok because the FBI director, Christopher Wray, stated one of the problems with TikTok's parent company being in China is the CCP. And if the CCP chooses, they could control software on millions of devices.
Precisely. And a couple of asides, the TikTok claims to be an independent company headquartered in Singapore, and therefore all their data does not go to China. The first rule of thumb is when you're talking to Chinese Communist Party apparatus is they lie. And the fact that it's based in Singapore doesn't mean anything. The fact is the TikTok is owned by a company called ByteDance, and they're headquartered in Beijing. And there's a law put out by the CCP that all organizations, companies, military, you name it, churches, they have to report to the CCP when so demanded. So when they say none of our data is going to China, they lie. It's been proven that data has gone to China, and China does control, the CCP does control TikTok. And now TikTok, apparently, I'm not conversant with it from an actual usage viewpoint, is a very well-run, very clever, very addictive social media platform. But what it does is it drives people based on what their likes are, and then it starts driving them down rabbit holes of basic anti-Americanism. They follow the CCP line on everything, and it's not surprising. The younger generation in America is very much more favorable towards the CCP in China. And we have a generation that basically doesn't like America. But to me, the big danger of TikTok is that it drives followers down rabbit holes of anti-Americanism and pro-Chinese. And it's changing our elections. It's having a huge impact on our elections. It's having an impact on our younger generation and their outlook to being patriotic Americans. So I don't understand why we just don't kick them out. And that gets back to reciprocity. China will not allow Facebook and Google to operate in China freely the way we allow the Chinese to operate in here. If that's the case, then we should not allow TikTok to operate in America until China, reciprocity, allows American organizations to operate in China.
Well, you did get to my point, a peace through strange solution on banning TikTok in the United States as a national security issue.
As an issue,
not as a First Amendment freedom of speech issue, but a national security issue. Yeah. And when the government is already saying to their employees that they cannot use TikTok.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's right, too. FBI Director Wray has warned about the dangers of TikTok. The government has banned the use of TikTok by government employees. And we have President Biden out there using TikTok to promote his reelection. I don't quite follow that one.
Not the best example, though.
No.
So, and my third point would be, could you talk to the CCP's positioning, the Chinese Communist Party's positioning themselves for our IT networks and infrastructure attacks?
Well, we've briefly touched on it, but I mean, they keep on attacking and attacking and developing these softwares that basically they can take down the system. And the system is vulnerable. It was an article recently, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, that talked about the fact that the software programmers that we have, they keep on generating new bells and whistles for all these software programs that are installed on computers. And banking, for example, is a perfect example of all the things you can do online, banking and all that stuff. But the basic foundation of these software programs is old and not very sophisticated. But the current software guys, they keep on adding a bell here and a whistle there to this old foundation, which is very vulnerable to hacking and to attacks. And so the cost, it was estimated in this article, I think it was like $1.5 trillion to update all the software. But companies don't want to do it because it's expensive and it doesn't really add a lot, right, to their value. So they say, well, we'll add the bells and whistles because we can do more and we'll worry about the security down the road. But it's a question, just like our infrastructure and the roads, the railroads, all the railroad crossing, all the railroad crashes and all this stuff.
Our water.
The water systems.
Electricity.
They're all crumbling, and it takes money to keep the stuff safe and current. But it's not glamorous, and people are afraid to go to the voters and say, well, we need X number of dollars to do this because we want to spend this money in welfare.
But going back to your point about not spending the money to upgrade the system, so I understand it's costly for them, but then if they get stuck in a point where they have to pay ransomware out to these people, how costly is that going to be?
I know, precisely. Plus, it's the danger to the infrastructure. The banks go down. Remember there was an infrastructure attack a few years ago on Colonial Pipeline. They shut down the pipelines for delivering gas to the East Coast, so there was a big gasoline shortage.
Yes.
So it's penny wise and a pound foolish. I don't know how you make the decision, but you want to make sure your computer systems are safe.
And kind of getting back to that, when we were saying about paying the ransomware, I have a question for you. It's kind of off subject as well, but so a lot of these companies, from what I understand, bigger companies, just go ahead and pay the ransom because they don't want to lose downtime. They want to get back and running. They want to save face.
Right.
But when they pay the ransom, it's just encouraging these people to continue to hack into these systems, and businesses are going to pay it.
Yep.
So should the businesses pay it or wait for the federal government to act or FBI to act?
I think if I were a business and a shutdown of my power plant, for example, cost me $20 million a day because I'm shut down, I think I'd pay.
Right.
So, but it's not only the CCP that's causing the ransomware, as you well know, Joy.
Oh, yeah.
The Russians, North Koreans, the Iranians.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in our own national interest that we beef up our security and recognize the fact that there's a lot of bad guys out there really wanting to take us down. Mm-hmm. They want to take down Western civilization of individual freedom and of religion and speech. The capitalistic method of economy, which allows a person to grow and be his own person. How many people are fleeing to Cuba? This is the perfect example I always make. How many people are going to the socialist paradise of Cuba? Venezuela? They're all fleeing out of there to here. So capitalism is the way to go. You'd never know it listening to Bernie Sanders and some of the Harvard professors. So.
Well, thank you, Larry, for your articles, and thank you for this talk on cyber warfare
and
the gray zone area.
Thanks, Joy.
And to our listeners, you can read all of Larry's articles at www.ascf.us. We encourage you to share your comments and thoughts on cyber attacks and on TikTok. You can find us on YouTube, Rumble, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Please consider becoming a member of the American Security Council Foundation for $100 a year. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Joy.
And to our listeners, join us again next time as we bring you the Peace Through Strength podcast.